Good evening. Thanks, Tanner, for reading that for us. It is the beginning of another year, and I would like to talk for a few minutes about a topic that fits in somewhat with the beginning of the year, the whole New Year's resolutions concept. And that is the topic of examining ourselves. This is a topic that the world thinks about a lot at this time of the year because of these New Year's resolutions. But we as Christians should not just think about examining ourselves at the beginning of the year, certainly. For us, this needs to be an ongoing and continuous mission throughout our lives. We should all be examining ourselves on an ongoing basis, year by year, month by month, week by week, day by day. We will be examining ourselves daily for the rest of our lives. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? We will be examining ourselves daily throughout our lives as to whether we are in the faith. Tonight, I'd like us to consider a few questions relating to examining ourselves. The who, what, when, why, how, if you will, of examining ourselves. And also talk about a couple of specific areas where I, and perhaps we, can consider examining ourselves at this time and as we go forward into this new year. So what is the purpose of us examining ourselves? Spiritually, why is it important for us to examine ourselves? 2 Timothy chapter 3, 17 answers this question. This is a passage we all know very well. 2 Timothy 3 and 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is why we examine ourselves. So that we can be complete. So that we can be equipped for every good work. Throughout our Christian walk with God, we need to be examining ourselves so that we can be complete. Of course, we also have specific times and purposes for which we are told to examine ourselves. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, we read of one of these occasions, specific times and purposes, 11:28 and actually 28 and 29. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And in the King James Version, that talks about eating and drinking damnation unto himself. As we know, when we are partaking of the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning, we are commanded to examine ourselves, making sure we are in the right frame of mind, considering our Savior and what his perfect sacrifice means to us, to each and every one of us. In this case, the purpose of examining ourselves is so that we won't be damned. I would further state that we need to be examining ourselves throughout our lives, considering our walk with God and how we can better serve him, or we might also be in danger of damning ourselves. As parents, those of us out here that are parents, we know that we will be attempting to help our children grow and mature throughout their time with us, under our rules, in our house. We hope to teach them to examine themselves so that they can make proper and mature decisions on their own. But as parents, do we ever expect this product to be perfected or complete? I imagine those that have sent children on hope that they get to that point, but none of us ever expect them to be perfect or complete. In much the same way, we as children of God will never be perfect or complete, so we will also always have need to examine ourselves as children of God, much as children of the parents will have to do. We will need to do this in order to continue to strive for that completeness throughout our lives. How do we know when we need to examine ourselves? We might hear something in a lesson that prompts us to realize an error in our walk. Over in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, we of course have the famous sermon by Peter on the day of Pentecost that happened just previous to this verse. Acts chapter 2 and 37, we know this verse well again. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, or as the King James Version says, pricked to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So when they heard something in a lesson, they were pricked to the heart. We might read something in our studies, our daily studies, as we study our Bibles on a daily basis. Again, that makes us realize an error in our walk. Back over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. We just read verse 17 a couple minutes ago. I'd like to go back and read verse 16 for this idea. Of course, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So this is the reason we need to examine ourselves as we read our Scriptures. All of these Scriptures are given to us for that reason, so that we can examine ourselves and make sure we are abiding by these Scriptures. We might hear something from a brother or a sister that makes us realize an error in our walk. Over in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, we can read a reference to this. Hearing something from a brother or sister that makes us realize an error in our walks. Galatians 6 and 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. When we hear something in a lesson, when we read something during our studies, when we hear something from one of our brothers or sisters that we need to consider, we too, like the men and women at Jerusalem, need to be pricked in our hearts. Often when we are in these circumstances, we are just going through the motions. We are just seeming to listen. We're not really, we're more passively listening. We're not really hearing what they have to say. We don't have an open heart. We need to have an open heart during all those occasions so that our hearts are available to be pricked at these times, and we need to examine ourselves at those times. How often do we need to examine ourselves? Is this something that we just do every so often, or is this a constant thing, as I said at the beginning? Well, as we stated in this, the last question, the answer to the last question, if we examine ourselves when we hear a lesson in the church from our brothers, we will be doing it on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There is something in pretty much every lesson I've ever heard in my time in the church that I can or should examine and dwell upon. How about you? If we examine ourselves as we're admonished by a brother, we will do so periodically as those opportunities present themselves. Although I would state that this is probably more often than most of us realize. Any of you who are married to a brother or sister are likely admonished in some way quite often, whether you realize it or not. And far too often, I admit, I don't realize it, and I don't think I'm alone in that. And just as often as we don't realize it is that we choose to ignore it, or rather, ignore it rather than acknowledge it, that we are being admonished. In what areas is it necessary for us to examine ourselves? We should all be examining ourselves based upon all the different hats that we wear in our lives. Over in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. Proverbs 4 and 26. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Let all thy ways be established. No matter what hat we are wearing, we are a Christian. And we need to be examining ourselves, make sure we are acting as God would have us wearing that hat. As Randy mentioned this morning in his lesson, when we're in the church building, we're a Christian. When we're at work, we're a Christian. When we're at home, we're a Christian. When we're alone, we're a Christian. We shouldn't be a different person in all these different instances. We're just wearing a different hat. We just have different responsibilities, perhaps. First and foremost is, of course, our life or our role as a servant of God. When we're wearing that hat, we need to be examining ourselves. Are we doing everything we can as a servant of God? The answer to that question is probably always going to be no for each of us. Because as we stated before, since none of us will ever reach perfection or completeness, then it stands to reason that we will always have areas in our walk with God that we need to work on. We will always have areas that we need to examine within ourselves. What other hats do we wear in which we need to examine ourselves? Those of us that are spouses, of course, we need to constantly examine our roles as spouses. If we are parents, we need to examine ourselves and our role as parents. If we are students or employees, we need to examine ourselves in these roles. And everyone here, we are all also children of parents. So we need to examine ourselves in that role also. As we know, we are taught to honor our fathers and mothers. And this doesn't just end when we leave the home. And there are many, many other roles that we take on where we need to consider how we as a Christian are to walk. We need to examine ourselves on a constant basis. Of course, we as Christians are rather lucky because we have one book we can go to in order for us to examine ourselves in all of these different roles, wearing all these different hats that we've mentioned. Of course, there are many self-help books that the world would offer to us as you examine yourself and decide that you have something that you may need to work on or improve in. Well, many of those books certainly can and will be beneficial to you as you endeavor to examine and perfect yourself. The one book is where we need to go first. This is the book that we can find all the answers in here if we know how to look. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter 1 and 3. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. We know that all things that pertain to godliness and life come from God. So we can learn something about anything we need to examine in our lives from His Word. Now, I'd like to talk for a few minutes about a couple of areas of concern I have. And these are things that I've noticed issues with for many people over my lifetime in the church. So I'd like for us to consider tonight, and as we go forward in this new year, the topic of forgiveness. We all know well the passage in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, up to seven times? And as we know, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So not only seven times, but 70 times seven is 490 times. I don't know, I doubt if there's anybody out here that's had to forgive any one individual person 490 times. But as we know, that's not what this passage means. We're not supposed to count them, and when we get up to 490, we can forget about forgiving them anymore. This means that there is no number. There's no number in this verse. This passage tells us that we forgive them every time. We don't count the number of times we forgive somebody. We forgive them every time. We often hear people talk about forgiving and forgetting. That, of course, may be appropriate sometimes, but I don't believe that we are commanded in the Bible to forget, as far as I know. And if somebody knows differently, you can correct me after services. But as far as I know, we're not commanded to forget. We are only commanded to forgive. If someone keeps doing the exact same hurtful thing to us over and over and over again, we are taught to forgive them. But we, as an individual, will eventually quit putting ourselves in a situation where they can continue to do the same hurtful thing to us over and over again. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with that. In other words, we don't forget what they did to us, but we do forgive them for doing it. One thing to mention as I'm talking about this topic, I'm mainly thinking about the area of forgiveness from the perspective of the forgiver. But if we happen to have anyone here who is guilty of being the party that continues to do the same thing over and over and over again, on behalf of all the forgivers, I would kindly and lovingly ask you to stop doing that. That's obviously not a proper thing to do either as a Christian. But like I said, I'm mainly talking about this from the angle of the forgiver. I've had several conversations over the years with people within the church who don't seem sure that we are necessarily required to forgive unless forgiveness is desired or requested. Sometimes they don't know, I don't know whether I really am required to forgive somebody if they could care less if I forgive them, if they're just going to continue to be cruel to me. If the person shows no remorse or doesn't seem to care whether we forgive them or not, maybe it is not necessary in their mind. To that idea, I'd make a couple of comments. As I have stated again to several people, different people, remember who benefits the most from you forgiving someone else. Who's the benefit? Who gets the most benefit? Is it the forgiver or the forgivee? Certainly the forgivee has some benefit, but the other person is not the person who gains the most benefit. The forgiver is. The forgiver is the person who gets the most benefit out of this. So I think, seriously, that's one of the main reasons why God requires that or wants us to do that, because it's going to be a burden. It's a burden off us if we forgive someone. The forgiver doesn't have to use the energy to be angry anymore. They don't have to worry about how to get even anymore, concocting ideas in their head, how can I get even with this guy that I'm angry with? You don't have to worry about avoiding that person anymore. If you just forgive them, you don't have to deal with any of that stuff anymore. And there are so many ways that the forgiver benefits when they forgive someone else. And I would also ask us to consider two men on this topic. Over in Acts chapter 7, and that gives away who one of the men is. Acts chapter 7 and verse 60. We know the seventh chapter of Acts, we're talking about the deacon Stephen. In the last verse of the chapter, we know that Stephen has been stoned. And what does Stephen say in Acts chapter 7, verse 60? Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. As I mentioned, two men. Of course, the other man is going to be found in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. And here we're, of course, talking about our Savior, Jesus. Luke 23 and 34. And this is Jesus after his crucifixion. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. Do these men that were responsible for killing Stephen and Jesus seem like they were desiring forgiveness for their actions? These passages alone do not prove the idea that we are to forgive those who commit some act against us. But these, coupled along with John chapter 13 and 15, John 13 and 15, for I have given you, this is Jesus talking, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And also in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Along the same lines, 1 Peter 2 and 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. As we know, we are to follow the example that Christ has left us. We are Christians. We are to be Christ-like. In Christ's example, for us, he was willing to forgive men when they had absolutely no desire for forgiveness. He was willing to forgive men, as well as Stephen, who did something to them that nobody's ever going to do as bad to any of us here. I'm fairly confident. They were willing to forgive men, and not only forgive men themselves, but ask God to forgive men who were murdering them, were killing them. Let us do the same. Let us forgive each other, whether it's sought or not. We should be willing to forgive, just as Christ was willing to forgive. Another thing I would like for us to consider is connected somewhat with forgiveness, and that is the way we approach our brothers and sisters when we are admonishing them, or are talking to them about something of a spiritual nature, and also how we as Christians react when we are approached by our brethren. I've had experience in my life both ways, good and bad, as the brother approaching another, and also as the brother being approached. And I asked Tanner before services to read 1 Corinthians 13 for this reason. Love, of course, is the key ingredient in these scenarios, as well as those we talked about previously with forgiveness. Love is the key ingredient that's needed when we're talking about admonishing our brothers or being admonished, and we're talking about forgiving or being forgiven. If we as a brother or sister being approached would take a moment as we realize we are being admonished and tell ourselves that this brother or sister that's coming to me loves me and is approaching me out of that love and that concern for my soul, this will help us to be in a proper frame of mind to hear the admonishment. We all know that our natural tendency as humans is to automatically become defensive. The minute we realize someone's about to chastise us, our defenses come up. We start coming up concocting reasons for that we're not doing what you say we're doing, or or, you know, we're not guilty of that. I challenge us all to try this approach the next time we are admonished by a brother. Stop. Don't even say anything. Just in your mind realize this brother loves me. They wouldn't be coming to me unless they loved me. They're doing this because they care about my soul and they want what's best for me as a Christian. They want to be with me in heaven someday. Of course, on the alternate, as the brother doing the admonishing, we have to remember also that we need to show love, and we need to do so according to the example left to us by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 19, or there is no 19, chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 through 23. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 through 23. And here Paul says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker of it with you." So we see here that Paul is, in his walk, of course, he's mainly talking about converting people, but I think we can take this on to our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. He was willing to be whatever he needed to be for each individual person to help bring them to Christ. We need to be the same. We need to be whatever. I need to be whatever I need to be if I'm talking to Scott. I need to be somebody different if I'm talking to Amanda. I need to be somebody different if I'm talking to Jeff. I need to be what they need me to be when I'm talking to them, not who I am. And I think this is probably one of the biggest areas where we suffer sometimes, the times that and I'm as guilty as anybody. The times I've talked to people, the times people have talked to me, they're just themselves, and it's hard to not be yourself. That's not exactly what we're saying, but you need to, through love, try and talk to that person in the way they need to be talked to. We need to try and talk to the person in the way that they need to be talked to, not the way that we want to talk to them, the way they need to be talked to. As the admonisher, it is imperative for us that take plenty of time to examine the reason that we are admonishing a brother. We should never, you know, have an occurrence and immediately go over and talk to somebody. There might be some circumstances where that's appropriate, but by and large, we need to take some time. We need to step back and think about what we're going to admonish somebody about. We need to take some time to pray to God that we are admonishing a brother or sister in the proper manner. And we need to admonish every brother and sister, like I said, differently, according to the unique individual that they are, each individual person is. We need to become, as Paul stated, the different person who we need to be to admonish each different brother or sister. In closing, I know sometimes topics like this tend to upset people and such, and that's not my intent at all tonight, to upset anybody. Not, like I said, this is something I've noticed over my years in the church. These are a couple of things that seem like they crop up from time to time. And I'm not saying necessarily we have a bigger problem of this than anybody. I think this is one of these two things are things that have been throughout the history of the church and probably will be forevermore. But the reason I bring them up is the title of my topic is to examine ourselves. I'm hoping that we'll all examine ourselves and think about these things as we go forward through this new year. Thank you, brethren, for your ear.